part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. Thank you so much for staying with us. We really appreciate you. We've been together from 6 p.m. this evening, and we are about to get into a very, very important topic. We're talking about the ethics of facial recognition systems. And I think we started this conversation about facial recognition last week, right? And today we're looking at the ethics of it, which I think is really an interesting topic. I must be honest myself that I do think that I have, I don't want to say a love-hate relationship because that might sound a little bit too strong, but I actually have anxiety when I just think about the fact that we get recorded and our faces can be recognized everywhere we go. And this is me perhaps being me, I mean, you know, wanting to be private and away from these things. But that's what we're talking about today. And I'd like to hear from you on +27 73 470 3520. So facial recognition is not just a technological advancement. It has ethical and social implications and is about the values that we want to uphold as a society, which is very important. I think underscore values there. I think that's where I'm coming from with my little bit of this facial recognition things. And this is a subject we started talking about last week, as I mentioned. And today we continue with a look at the ethical side of facial recognition technology. And who better to help us understand this one? It is Elder Muyowa, who's joining us this evening. We really appreciate his time. Elder, good evening.
Evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for asking. And how are you?
I'm doing okay. Other than the elder part, I think my local church will ask, when did we meet this guy, an elder?
Well, the church will have to wait a little bit on this one. We've already conferred the eldership on you. If they have questions, they can come to SID.
Okay, no, that's fine.
But thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. But I want us to start here. What are facial recognition systems? And I'm starting here because we could be having some of our listeners that perhaps went there when we started this conversation. I know we didn't have it with you last time, but what are facial recognition systems?
Okay, so I get to define it in my own terms. Great. Other than building from last week.
Yes.
So facial recognition software is software that basically, whether you are standing alone or in a crowd, it can capture photographic images of your face.
Yeah.
Either through a picture, video, or scanning your face.
Yeah.
And just be able to identify as much as possible who you are.
Ooh,
now,
okay.
There's quite a few steps that it has to go through.
Yeah.
But in a nutshell, there's a camera and it can try and identify who you are.
Just to simplify. Okay, all right. So I mean, I just also want to simplify it a little bit. So I normally see it like on your social media type of a thing. It would when there's a picture uploaded of say two or three people, or even if it's one person, and when you try to zoom in on camera, it really recognizes this is so and so. This is so. Is that also the thing on social media as well?
Yeah, look, those are some of the use cases, but let's talk about the ones that, you know, are very common that people use without actually realizing what they are.
Yeah.
You know, some of us have got these smartphones.
Yes.
You know, when you get the phone, it unlocks.
Yeah.
Mysteriously, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That is facial recognition in the primary sense. Then you also have, for example, entrance to some estates, those affluent estates.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you look at the camera and the boom gate just opens up. Even in some workplaces, it can pick up that you are now coming in with your car, that it's you, and then it allows you into the premises. So there's quite a few use cases for some of these things, and some of them we were not aware of them, but now I'm going to make you aware of them at most airports, especially those international. there is a lot of facial recognition software. They don't tell you you're being scanned.
And that's why we're having this conversation about the ethics of it, right? Because my guest last week spoke exactly what you're saying, which is what I love, because it means we are all on the same wavelength. Because he made an example about China, for example, where they've put in these things everywhere in town and people are walking around and it's just busy scanning people, this one. And it builds certain biases about people based on their behavior. So, for example, someone, say a month ago, it had recognized that they threw litter, for example, on the bin and whatever, and didn't, you know, throw it in the bin, but they just littered and all that. Next time they're in town, this thing says, beep, beep, this person is here again. So those biases, right, is it inherent in these things?
Look, again, it's around the use of the technology.
Yeah.
For example, another use case, which I forgot, is just unlocking your computer.
Yeah.
So that use case makes sense. But then you get use cases that are actually used by, let's say, law enforcement or maybe city programs.
Yeah.
Let's say a metropolitan program that wants to promote clean metropolitan areas, especially around the CBDs.
Yeah.
So it's around the use cases. And that's where a lot of people have ethics issues around the use cases. And you might find in that litter one, the use case makes sense.
Yeah.
But the consent of scanning someone's image and storing that image and then creating a profile on someone without actually balancing why they littered. Maybe the paper fell out of their pocket.
Yeah.
So the ethics are there around the use case and the scenarios around the use case.
Okay. Talk about use cases then. The first question is, how did we land here? What happened to passwords?
Well, the reality is, if you look at passwords, they're a challenge because I can use your password and it doesn't really confirm that I am you. What it just confirms is I have the username and the password, and that's what a password is.
Yes.
But now when we come into this area, especially when we are now, you know, having been educated about cybersecurity, we are now coming into this area where we now need to make sure that you, as you logging in, you're actually you, and I am me.
Yeah.
It now to then look at biometrics and under the umbrella of biometrics, you find iris recognition, which is very controversial.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think irises, it can even go as deep as pulling out the health issues with a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's even worse. People don't even want to start that conversation. It's worse than facial recognition. You've got the biometrics. And then you've got even the posture, the way someone walks.
Yeah.
So these are things that we use to basically identify someone. And we can then confirm to some certainty that, look, this is you indeed. Yeah.
So to a certain level, it's you. But to another level, we are not sure it's you because you might have stolen the password. That's what we are saying, right? Maybe, you put in the correct password. You punched it correctly with those case sensitive, whatever. You could have shot someone and took their password and now you've milked them out their 100,000 rents or whatever the case may be. So that's one of the problems that I'm hearing you say with regards to password. And then... yeah, maybe your face becomes even biometric, like you said. Hey, that one is, it's very controversial.
So let's also talk about another quick use case: banking apps in South Africa at the moment. If you're going to open a bank account, it actually wants to scan your face.
And
that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Because we have come to this realization that, look, the username and the password for your banking app is not sufficient. We now want to get your biometrics, your face, and the location where you are. To say, you're within the same usual location where you access the app. So these are ways to basically protect us in one sense.
Okay. I want to ask an elementary question, but I think it might help because what I've seen with my own apps that I use, not necessarily the banking one, but even the others that I use with facial recognition and all those sort of stuff, I wear glasses. So even on my Apple, when I need to log into my Apple whatever account and all those sort of stuff, when I'm not wearing glasses and when I... Can we please talk about that? Why is that? Or should I? The best approach is take out your glasses, because you might change frames, you might change all this sort of stuff, so that it makes it easy.
Yeah. Look. When we start talking about biometrics, there is a certain error that is accepted. There's an error towards giving access. There's an error towards giving access to the wrong person.
Yeah.
There's an error towards giving access. Prohibiting access to the right person.
So
let me just redefine this.
Yeah.
You put your fingerprint.
Yeah.
The computer can say, you are the right person, but indeed you are the wrong person.
Ooh.
Again, you put your fingerprint, it can say you are the wrong person, but you're actually the right person.
Yes.
So there's two errors.
Yeah.
And we try as much as possible to manage these two. Now, unfortunately, there is ways to circumvent facial recognition.
Yeah.
So, for example, glasses.
Yeah.
Depending on whether the light hits the glass in a certain direction, and sometimes even reflecting back to the camera. Some people have even put little infrared lights on their glasses to stop that. And sometimes, in some cases, not talking about Apple, because this used to be a use case for Apple, you could actually put a picture in front of your face.
Ooh.
Color printed picture, and it will actually think that it's you.
Oh my.
But now it does a lot more facial deep scanning to actually determine whether the face is 3D or 2D. Two dimensional or 3D. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I've seen this with the health insurance thingies that I also have, because I think they've become quite advanced as well. They're using these facial recognitions and all those sort of stuff. And it always gives me an error message. I'm like, this thing thinks that it owns itself, but I own this thing. Now all of a sudden it's telling me that we can't log in because we can't recognize you. No, wait, I'm the one who brought you here. Anyways, talking about then ethics. I think one of the primary concerns around facial recognition is always privacy, right? And people's right to privacy and all that. Would you say there is a privacy or security risk that's at play here?
So there is. There's another concept to ethics that I'd like us to come back to, which is around the demographics, especially those from distinct ethnic backgrounds.
Yes, let's go.
Let's talk about the privacy.
Okay.
So there was a time when our law enforcement had access to a system or technology that you could punch in a cell phone number and it could tell you the locations based on the cell towers in different areas where that phone number would have gone. And the accuracy was reasonable within a certain distance, right? So the challenge we had there was a lot of misuse because unfortunately the police are human beings like me and you. And you know, when I'm looking for you, I can't find you.
Yeah.
I punch in your number, then I know where you are. And then there was a lot of misuse within our law enforcement. And they sort of removed that responsibility for them and put it back with the ISPs. Now the police have to subpoena to get access to it.
Yeah.
Now, with that example, when we talk about this facial recognition, it goes back to the use case. We say that it is possible for those who are given the responsibility to use this technology. It is possible that they can misuse it
for their own
personal.
Yeah.
So, for example, let's say for someone who's got a spouse and they would just want to know where that person went. So they would upload the image and that technology will be able to then trace let's say their movements across Gauteng, right? As a whole entire province. And you can then come and say, here's camera footage, you're here. So there is ethics around the usage, and then there's ethics around the collection and the storing of the images.
Yeah.
So let me just break that down just quickly. The fact that you have dropped that piece of paper and lit up, now all of a sudden your image is collected without your consent.
Yes, yes.
It's stored.
Yeah.
And it's stored in a database labeled as, these are people we need to watch out for who are litters.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So automatically you are put into a category or a class of people that you did not get consent to and you don't have preview to. to even challenge that, to say, hey, actually, listen, that was a mistake. So the privacy issues are around there, especially around the collection and the storage. And at what point does that information get destroyed? Or at what point do I get notified that I have now been added to this database? So there is some challenges, and these are just some of the issues.
Are those challenges a byproduct of an innovation of this nature? Because I'm thinking in my mind, there is a use case for it, like you said, and there is a place for it. Good or bad or whatever, but there is a case of it. Is it a byproduct of... We are human beings, we are not like God. And so whatever we create always has almost like an unintended.
Look, it's more of this is why, in essence, the technology is being further developed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not a by the way. It's to sort of solve these type of issues.
Okay.
In a way, a lot of people are trying to say, okay, how can we refine the way we do this and make it much more better than it is? Yeah.
Okay. All right. We spoke about the distinct ethnic groups. And I think these facial recognition systems are found to be a little bit inaccurate on some of these things, especially with regards to the disparities in different racial and ethnic groups. Perhaps if you were to outline for us, what are the dangers that can arise from these inaccuracies? And more importantly, what's being done to, I suppose, solve or address these inaccuracies?
Okay. So I was going to use an example that's in the state, but let's use an example that's local.
Okay.
One of the biggest challenges that we face in the country is cash in transit.
Yeah, definitely.
Incidents.
Yeah.
We call them CITs.
Yes.
And if we apply facial recognition to CITs, you realize that the majority of people, and unfortunately, who are in those actual physical CIT incidents are black people.
Yeah.
And some of the challenges faced by this technology is that it's not really, it hasn't reached that 100% accuracy when it comes to when it's scanning within a crowd. So a crowd would be like a stadium, a protest, right? We usually have a lot of protests in our country.
We do.
So now when you're scanning against that and you don't get that accuracy, it is very possible that someone comes knocking on your door and says you were part of this crowd.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So the challenges there are specifically around people with darker skin.
Yes.
And then also now when we look up abroad, especially people from Middle Eastern descent, they get classified very quickly that they are terrorists. Ooh. So these are the things that we still need to be refined, because a lot of this technology, when it's used, when we start talking about privacy, when we start talking about some of the challenges, it's used when you're scanning a huge crowd of people. So as part of this, I actually found that at some stadiums, they actually use this technology. And the interesting thing, actually, where now there's a lot of controversy around this, actually, is the police do make arrests. Out of people, they make, well, let's out of 10 people they're looking for, they make arrest of supposedly 10 people.
Yeah.
And from that 10, they find that the one person is actually 100% correct, that nine are incorrect.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, look, this thing is working.
Because
we have now made an arrest that we did not, we could not make.
Yeah.
But then now you can think about the 9 people that have been inconvenienced and incorrectly labeled as criminal.
Yeah. So how do we address these things? Is there like a button in the configurations, you know, either the hardware of it, or I don't suppose we could, I don't know, create prototypes of 1,000 ethnic African people? That's going to be an impossible task. Where should the configurations be done?
Look, like anything else, artificial intelligence, AI, we need to improve the learning models on which the AI is built.
Yeah.
So the learning model, if I was to explain it to a layman's term, this is the language the AI speaks.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're currently speaking English. And then when we want to now build a scenario, we're building on top of the English that me and you are speaking.
Yes.
So one of the things that needs to happen for us to actually get these accurate detections is to actually prove the learning models on especially dark skinned people, blacks, in a nutshell.
Is this like a long term strategy, or it can be done really quickly?
Well, AI allows us to automate and do a lot of research very quickly.
Yeah.
The challenge is the use cases, especially where these AI models are developed.
Yeah.
The use cases are not applicable there because if you look at, for example, let's say, let's pick a country, let's say the UK.
Yeah.
The number of black people in the UK does not necessarily allow them to basically focus their efforts on fine-tuning these models.
Yeah.
So it needs to now come back to us in Africa where we can get funding to say, okay, here we have different races.
Yeah.
That are black.
Yeah.
How do we then improve the technology locally so that people abroad, like the UK, can then come in and consume that because it is used in an environment where there's a lot more black people, where there's a lot more use cases.
Yeah.
So these are the challenges that you have. And the issue for me here is around funding. It's around access to these models because there's also intellectual property, your IP. Mm. So these companies that develop these models don't want to now open up the model.
Yeah.
And then now they lose the intellectual property. They pick the vehicle that allows them to make money.
Yeah.
So there's issues there. And for me, once we overcome those, then we'll be in a position
yeah,
the accuracy.
Yeah. And I know it takes us back to the question around privacy, right? The next question that I want to ask, because I'm thinking to myself, we could integrate these things. I mean, billions of people are on social media, right? As is. And that could be the first base. Connect these things to some other person's profile if they do have, even if it asks them a question, do you agree? And then you agree to it if you want or not. But isn't there a quick fix, very quick wins we could do with maybe social media and connect this and can accurately say this is Thapelo, you know, when I go to the airport and whatever the case might be, without having to deal with the facial differences, disparities, and all these inaccuracies that then come out of this? This sounds like a quick win. And I'm not an expert in this, but I'm just thinking outside of the box here.
So, unfortunately, the moment you want to fast track these models learning faces, the more mistakes we're going to make. Because when we scan someone's face, it's like taking your DNA.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You take someone's DNA without their concern, and you just scan it across other DNAs that have been found to be in the system. You know? So I would say that especially those in this field need to acquire the learning models.
Yes.
Take their time and actually fine-tune them.
Okay.
And then fine-tune the use cases and then apply it. I think there's a lot of use cases, and especially if you look at crime in our country, you look at especially around theft, cash in transit, violent crimes where, for example, it's gender-based. These technologies can help a lot because we can then quickly identify and find criminals instead of waiting for a longer period. And justice can then be, you know, given to those who are seeking it much quicker.
Well, I tried. I mean, just to make it a little bit easier, I really tried. Okay, as we draw to a close, then how can we ensure, I suppose, responsible and ethical development of these facial recognition technologies in the future? And really related to that, my second one would be, what are then the trends?
All right. So let's start with the trends. Yeah. I think there's a lot of trends. If you're not using facial recognition somewhere, you're being left behind. Because it's quite useful.
Yes.
Especially like I mentioned, when you now just sit in front of your laptop, I enjoy it a lot. I just press any button and then it just logs me in. Someone else sits in front of me.
Yeah.
They need to figure out my username and password. So the trends are there in terms of personal device usage. In terms of also personal spaces, entry to personal spaces like workplaces, estates, even sometimes picking up shoplifters. Those are performing shoplifting in malls.
Definitely.
Picking them up. So the trends are there. They're quite useful. Even class attendance. You don't have to pass a register around anymore. You can just scan everyone's face and just know everyone's there.
Yes.
There's one fun one that I found out, actually, is think about your car keys.
Okay. Okay.
You could walk up to the door and just open the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on, let's say, your fingerprint.
Yeah.
It just opens the door. Yeah. And as soon as the car inside sees that it's you, it starts the car, if you want to start the car. So then it's the key is you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can think about cars that are stolen. Yeah. You can think about a whole lot of things.
Yes.
The trends are there to eliminate a lot of things and improve our lives. Mm. A lot of eliminate things that we lose or things that are stolen and also improve our lives. So the trends are there. I think the first part of the question I just forgot.
The first part was, I suppose, around how do we ensure responsible and ethical development of the systems? Do we need regulations?
Yes, so we need regulation, and I think we also need to hold our law enforcement accountable. It's not just a matter of passing something in parliament and saying, hey, we're now going to be doing this mass surveillance, let's say like in China.
Yeah.
It's we need to hold people who have access to that information accountable and actually vet them to see, is there any prior history of violence, any prior history of let's say, someone who would take from the organization and sell it. Provide a backdoor service to some friends where they're paying kickbacks. So we need to firstly test the models.
Okay.
Secondly, we need to have use cases that are local.
Yes.
And then hold people who have access to this technology accountable.
Yes.
Because imagine you being picked up at your house because they believed you're part of protest. I think for me that's unfair.
Phew. I'm just thinking now about, as we close, I mean, I'm just picking your brain on the car thing. Because if I'm not wrong, there are cars that use fingerprint and whatever, and people's fingers have been chopped. Can imagine people chop your head for because they can't drive your car now. It's a lot that these criminals think about in terms of figuring out their activities as well. Final thoughts there. And I think, like you said, I love the fact that there's use cases for these things. They are quite good. We just need to hold, like you said, the authorities accountable. Any final thoughts as we close?
So my final thought would be this is one of those technologies that has a potential to improve our lives.
Definitely.
It has a potential to deter or discourage people from protesting or sharing their views. because here's another fun fact, not related to facial recognition, but related to the identity of a person.
Okay.
With technology these days, we can take a voice note from WhatsApp and be able to determine who said that. So this tends to help in terms of these fake news that people spread. So that can also deter and fine-tune fake information that gets circulated around. But the challenge with this technology is how are we going to use it in such a way that it does not impact or infringe on the privacy of people and make people uncomfortable to leave their house. Now people are leaving their houses with ski masks on.
That's very true.
Exactly. So we just need to find ways of living together with this technology.
Yeah.
Because I think like anything else, we need to live together with something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not abuse it. And actually use it correctly. So those would be my absolute final thoughts. And I think for the viewers as well, is just take a look at what you're using around you. And just realizing how you're using, especially if it's scanning your face. Like your bank. I once tweeted something at one of our banks. And I was not amused at the fact that they were collecting my location information. But it's been I think a few years now, and I'm forced to give them my location because otherwise I cannot access the banking app. And the point of what I'm trying to say there is some of these technologies are here to stay. It's how we adapt to it.
Yeah.
Because if we don't adopt, we'll get left behind and we won't get service.
Yeah, it's because we're getting used to these facial recognitions, even on our apps, as I mentioned. I just don't have them on my pinky, but I'm still like very, very, I don't know, jittery about these things. But yeah, but thank you so much, my brother, for joining us this evening. And great insights. May God continue to bless you. And we really appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That was our brother there, Muyowa, joining us this evening, talking about facial recognition technologies and what they are and what they mean. Mina, hey, these things, I think I agree with the fact that there is a use case for them, right? Given the level of crime and all these things that happen, there is a use case for them. Like he said, we just need to find a way to use them in a responsible way.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.